This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. It's like something out of a horror movie on Maui.
It's just scary to see a big wildfire just kind of coming your way. And it's not something I ever experienced before.
At least 36 people have been killed in massive flames being fanned by Hurricane Dora, swirling hundreds of miles to the south of the Hawaiian Islands. Major General Kenneth Hara is with Hawaii's Department of Defense.
The primary focus is to save lives and to prevent human suffering and to mitigate great property loss. So that's exactly what the counties were and have been doing.
I'm Cammie McCormick. Many residents say they've tried to leave the island, but there is no way out.
Because it looks like there is no lights.
Many, like Jamie Brown, spent the night in parking lots of businesses while their homes burned to the ground.
Nothing but smoke. Cinders. Came with all the clothes we got on and a dog and two kids.
And many have no way to communicate with loved ones. Cell phone and internet services are down.
The oldest house in Maui, the 1834 Baldwin home, may be gone. After more than a year of steady declines, inflation is ticking up. It rose 3.2% in July. CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
Shelter continues to be a big part of the inflation story. According to the government, shelter accounted for 90% of the increase in inflation in July.
Many economists believe it's a temporary blip that won't erode long-term progress. Next move, the Feds, which will consider another round of interest rate hikes in September. The property manager at Mar-a-Lago and an aide to former President Trump are due back in court in Florida today. They face charges of helping Mr. Trump hide classified documents after he left the White House. High schools in Florida will be able to offer AP psychology after all. State Education Commissioner Manny Diaz now says material on sexual orientation and gender identity does not violate the law. Anthony Verdugo with the Florida Christian Coalition disagrees.
They are not within the context of education. They're within the context of indoctrination.
Last week, Diaz announced the class could only be offered if certain topics were excluded. A streamer's taking a cue from a competitor and raising prices. Here's CBS's Jim Crisula.
The monthly cost of ad-free Disney Plus will jump nearly 30% to almost $14. The cost of ad-free Hulu will rise 20% to nearly $18 a month. That will make it more expensive than the most popular ad-free tier at Netflix.
Disney is also clamping down on password sharing. S&P futures up 28. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Keeping your home safe for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
For WCFW and the Tap FM, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley. Hearings this week are over in the Lily Peters homicide case in Chippewa County, and now a judge will decide next year whether the lone suspect, a 15-year-old boy, will be tried as an adult or if the case will go to juvenile court. The teenager is charged with murdering 10-year-old Lily Peters last year and leaving her body in the woods near her Chippewa Falls home. Testimony in reverse waiver hearings this week focused on the boy's mental health and treatment options available in state prison. If the boy is convicted of homicide as an adult, he would serve a mandatory life sentence in prison. If the case moves to juvenile court, he would be under supervision for the next 10 years. Judge Stephen Gibbs will decide in January where the case will go. Two homicide suspects in Eau Claire County are being tried separately. Brandon Gaston and Tracy Clark are both accused of killing an Altoona man and hiding his corpse. The body of 79-year-old Dennis Shoddy was found decapitated in the Rock River in Rockford, Illinois last April. Gaston will appear in court later this month. Clark's next court appearance is in October. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
I've got some cheese curds that I'm willing to share. Then I want to ride that giant slide over there. So if you've got 11 days to spare, won't you come with me to the Wisconsin State Fair? Won't you come with me to the Wisconsin? Great state of Wisconsin State Fair.
There's something for everyone at the Wisconsin State Fair, presented by U.S. Cellular, August 3rd through the 13th.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out, and for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that.
Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Alba Show, weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Alba Show on your local civic media radio station and on the app. This is 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. Robbie Robertson, songwriter, guitarist from the band, passed away yesterday at the age of 80 years old, leaving behind lots of great music, including that piece, Chest Fever, by the band. We've got 8 minutes after 9 o'clock now. 60 degrees up in Hayward, 69 degrees in La Crosse right now. And just before the break, we were talking about the devastation on Maui, on the island of Maui in Hawaii. And, you know, we've been mentioning that place called Lahaina, or Lahaina Town, on the west side of the island. It's a tourist destination, but long before it was a tourist destination, it was actually the capital of the old days when Hawaii had a king. And it wasn't that long ago that Hawaii had a king, and it wasn't the king like you think in the traditional sense of a European king. He was more just like a leader of the people, and from what you read in history books, it seemed like most of the people accepted this idea of having a king. But anyway, what I want to give you here, just a little bit of information about this town that got devastated by these wildfires. Lahaina, devastated town on Maui, is a trove of Hawaiian history. The town was once Hawaii's royal capital, and there were fears that some of its historic buildings had been destroyed by the wildfires. This is from the New York Times, and it was updated at 6 o'clock this morning. It says, for many visitors, the town of Lahaina is a place to go for tropical beaches. But for residents of Hawaii, it is a trove of history. Its heritage museum in a landmark courthouse houses artifacts from before the rest of the world knew Hawaii even existed. Its oldest building, The Baldwin home was occupied by the 19th century physician who saved Maui from an epidemic of smallpox. Its central feature, a sprawling 150-year-old banyan tree, was planted to commemorate the arrival of Christian missionaries in 1873. On Wednesday, yesterday, that legacy and more appeared to be in ashes, consumed by the hurricane-driven wildfires that have devastated the island of Maui, razing, R-A-Z-I-N-G, razing, much of the historic district of Lahaina, once Hawaii's royal capital, in a matter of hours. Quote, "We had no preparation, no warning, nothing," said Theo Morrison, the executive director of the Lahaina Restoration Foundation, which manages more than a dozen historic sites in the town. Ms. Morrison, a longtime resident and the mother of a firefighter who has kept her apprised of the damage, spoke from an East Coast airport on Wednesday. She left Maui a day before the fires had broken out on Tuesday night, bound for Europe on family business, she said. And she quote, or here's a quote from her, "I never would have left if I'd known what was coming," she said. "Whipped by wind, the fires blew through nearby grasslands and roared through the historic town, through the historic tourist town." The Baldwin home, which houses the foundation's main office, appears from news photos to have burned to the ground after its roof caught fire, she said. The home contained the wooden rocking chairs that the family of the Reverend Dwight Baldwin had shipped all the way from their East Coast home in the 1830s. Their son's antique shell collection and the medical instruments that Dr. Baldwin, a missionary and physician, had used to vaccinate much of Maui against smallpox. Quote, "The old Lahaina courthouse roof is entirely gone," Ms. Morrison said, "and so is the beautiful heritage museum we had there. The top floor had ancient Hawaiian things, things from the monarchy and plantation and whaling periods, objects from all of Lahaina's eras," end quote. Most of the museum's important documents have been preserved online, she said, and she is hoping that the island will restore at least some of the buildings when the fire abates. But she is preparing herself for some major losses. She said, "This is the worst destructive thing that has happened in this town's entire history." So sad news coming out of Hawaii. And I don't know, I guess they're going to do an assessment today once the sun comes up. But it's a sad story. Hey, the next thing I want to get to here, we got 13 minutes after 9 o'clock. The next thing I want to get to is another sad story. But a man in Utah lost his life yesterday. Another victim of the lies of our former president. This is from the New York Times. It says, "Utah man accused of threatening Biden is killed by FBI agent. The man who was shot while agents were trying to serve arrest and search warrants at a home was also charged with threatening other elected officials." And this piece was posted last night at the New York Times. It says an FBI agent on Wednesday fatally shot a man in Provo, Utah, who officials said was armed and had threatened to assassinate President Biden just hours before the president was scheduled to speak in nearby Salt Lake City. Craig Robertson, 75 years old, was also charged with threatening to shoot other elected officials, including Alvin Bragg, the Manhattan district attorney, as well as with making threats against law enforcement officials, according to court documents filed a day earlier in U.S. District Court in Salt Lake City. The shooting comes at a moment of intense polarization in American politics. The three indictments of former President Donald Trump have offered fodder for supporters and allies who have seized on his mounting legal peril to fan a narrative of a Justice Department weaponized against him and bent on derailing the Republican frontrunner's campaign to retake the White House. The FBI said in a statement on Wednesday afternoon that it was investigating an agent-involved shooting that it happened around 6:15 a.m. in Provo while agents were trying to serve arrest and search warrants at his home. A federal law enforcement official speaking on the condition of anonymity to discuss the shooting said that Mr. Robertson was armed at the time. Officials offered few other details. A White House official said that Mr. Biden had been briefed on the matter, and a woman who was listed in public records as Robertson's daughter declined to comment when reached by phone. According to the court filing, Robertson owned numerous firearms, including a sniper rifle. The complaint also laid out his history of threats on social media, where he referred to his guns as Democratic eradicators. In one post last year, he photographed three rifles and said he was getting ready for the 2024 election cycle. He repeatedly taunted the agents investigating him, saying they came close to violent eradication. Last week, he noted on social media that President Biden would be visiting Utah and that he was going to dust off an M24 rifle and get out his old camouflage suit, one typically used by snipers. According to the complaint, other online posts indicated Robertson's intent to kill President Biden and Bragg, who is leading a prosecution of Trump in New York in connection with a hush money payment to a porn star during his 2016 campaign. On September 19th of last year, 2022, Robertson wrote on Facebook that, quote, "The time is right for a presidential assassination or two, first Joe, then Kamala." In another message, he declared that he wanted to shoot Alvin Bragg in the head and watch him die. The post also mentioned George Soros, the financier and Democratic mega donor who has been a target of Trump and Republicans in Congress, and echoed Trump's attacks on Bragg and Soros. Other subjects of Robertson's threats: Attorney General Merrick Garland, whom he described as a Nazi, Governor Gavin Newsom of California, and Letitia James, the New York Attorney General. Also in September of last year, referring to Ms. James, Robertson wrote on Facebook that, quote, "A sniper's bullet does not recognize your qualified immunity," end quote. In October of last year, he shared a picture of a semi-automatic handgun, calling it a Merrick Garland eradication tool. Another victim of Trump's lies, now dead, 18 minutes after 9 o'clock right now. I'm going to take a quick break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
If this were a Reese's TV ad, you'd be staring at a Reese's peanut butter cup. And sure, my voice is peanut buttery smooth, but still, you need to see the peanut butter cups, right? No? I can really just say Reese's and you'll go get some? Okay. Reese's. 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 Really working, actually. Reese's. Reese's. This, I'm onto something. Reese's. Reese's. Reese's.
Bobby, did we get that shipment of mesquite?
Jim's woodworking shop worked fine. Good fit on those Japanese corners. Until half his staff retired.
Wow, those cuts are neat.
I'm really going to miss your precision.
He needs 4 skilled woodworker bees ASAP.
All right, this jigsaw needs a new blade.
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Our hiring platform instantly connects you with quality candidates, and you can schedule and conduct virtual interviews right from the Indeed dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
I'm meteorologist Megan Hatton. Areas of fog around this morning, then increasing clouds for your afternoon, the high near 80. Tonight and lasting through Friday, scattered showers and thunderstorms developing. A few storms may become strong to severe. The overnight low near 60, we're in the low 80s for highs on Friday. Currently, it's 64.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Cause I'm tired of these scenes. For a blue coin, won't you bring back all those colors to my dreams? Silver magic ships you carry, jumpers, coke, sweet Mary Jane. Sugar man, met a false friend on a lonely, dusty road. Lost my heart when I found it. It had turned to dead black coal. Silver magic ships you carry, jumpers, coke, sweet Mary Jane. Sugar man, you're the answer that makes my questions disappear. Sugar man, cause I'm weary of those double games I. Sugar man, sugar man, sugar man, sugar man, sugar man.
Welcome back to the Steve Daniels Show on this Thursday morning, 23 minutes after 9 o'clock. Sugar man, also known as Sixto Rodriguez, or simply Rodriguez, passed away yesterday at the age of 81. And have you ever heard of that movie called Searching for Sugar Man? That gentleman was the topic or the subject of that movie. Headline from the Associated Press says that singer and songwriter Sixto Rodriguez, subject of Searching for Sugar Man documentary, dies at 81. And this is one of the most incredible stories in popular music in the past several decades. Sugar Man Rodriguez released a couple of albums in the early 70s, and they didn't sell very well, so he kind of gave up on the music business. Went about a regular old life living in Detroit. I think he worked in a car factory or something, and didn't know at the time that his records became really popular in South Africa. I don't know exactly how it happened, but in South Africa, the country of South Africa, he was looked at as one of the greatest songwriters of all time. And he was a great songwriter. But he was living in obscurity for decades. And then this documentary came out about, 10, 20 years ago, probably. It'll probably say in this article I'm going to get to, but quite a few years ago. And And then he became popular again, or he became popular in the United States for a time. I saw him perform in Milwaukee at the Riverside Theater about 10 years ago, 11 years ago or so. But let me give you a little bit of this piece here from the Associated Press, just to give you an idea of this story. Sixto Rodriguez, who lived in obscurity as his music career flamed out early in the U.S., only to find success in South Africa and a stardom he was unaware of, died on Tuesday in Detroit. He was 81 years old. Rodriguez's legacy would take off back home after the singer and songwriter became the subject of the Oscar-winning documentary Searching for Sugar Man. His death was announced on the sugarman.org website and confirmed Wednesday by his granddaughter, Amanda Kennedy. He died following a short illness, according to his wife, Connie Rodriguez. A 2013 Associated Press story referred to Rodriguez as, quote, the greatest protest singer and songwriter that most people never heard of, end quote. His albums flopped in the United States in the 1970s, but unknown to him, he later became a star in South Africa, where his songs protesting the Vietnam War, racial inequality, abuse of women, and social mores inspired white liberals horrified by the country's brutal racial segregation system of apartheid. Swedish filmmaker Malik Bendjelloul, his documentary Searching for Sugar Man, presented Rodriguez to a much larger audience. The film tells of two South Africans' mission to seek out the fate of their musical hero. It won the Academy Award for Best Documentary in 2013. Rodriguez was more popular than Elvis in South Africa, Stephen Sugar Siegerman said in 2013. The Cape Town record store owner's nickname comes from the Rodriguez song, Sugar Man, which we just heard. As his popularity in South Africa grew, Rodriguez lived in Detroit, but his fans in South Africa believed he also was famous in the United States. They heard stories that the musician had died dramatically. He'd shot himself in the head on stage in Moscow. He'd set himself aflame and burned to death before an audience someplace else. He died of a drug overdose, was in a mental institution, was incarcerated for murdering his girlfriend. In 1996, Siegerman and journalist Carl Bartholomew Stridham set out to learn the truth. Their efforts led them to Detroit, where they found Rodriguez working on construction sites. Quote, it's rock and roll history now. Who would have thought? Rodriguez told the Associated Press a decade ago. Rodriguez said he just went back to work after his music career fizzled, raising a family that includes three daughters and launching several unsuccessful campaigns for public office. He made a living through manual labor in Detroit. Still, he never stopped playing his music. I felt I was ready for the world, but the world wasn't ready for me. I feel we all have a mission. We have obligations. Those turns on the journey, different twists. Life is not linear. 928, stick around. We'll be right back.
Going down a dirty inner city side road, I plotted. Madness passed me by, she smiled high, I nodded. Looked up as the sky began to cry, she shot it.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
CBS News special report. Officials in Hawaii say at least 36 people have been killed in devastating wildfires on Maui that have decimated entire communities, including the historic town of Lahaina. KGMB-TV's Chelsea Davis is there.
A lot of things are just completely destroyed. Everything is in ashes. Street signs are down. We had someone escorting us, telling us this is what the historic Pioneer Inn used to be.
Local Andrew Spears has been attacking hotspots along the road.
Got a tote full of water and some shovels, and we're just hailing out water, throwing it on the smolders, and trying to cover some dirt on top to try and extinguish so it doesn't flare back up.
Tourists like this woman are being urged to leave the island.
We woke up with no power, and then the day went on, and we lost internet, cell service, couldn't call the family. We had no idea what was going on.
Bus evacuations will resume at 8 a.m. local time. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Civic Media Radio Stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
For WCFW and the Tap FM, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley. Hearings this week are over in the Lily Peters homicide case in Chippewa County, and now a judge will decide next year whether the lone suspect, a 15-year-old boy, will be tried as an adult or if the case will go to juvenile court. The teenager is charged with murdering 10-year-old Lily Peters last year and leaving her body in the woods near her Chippewa Falls home. Testimony in reverse waiver hearings this week focused on the boy's mental health and treatment options available in state prison. If the boy is convicted of homicide as an adult, he would serve a mandatory life sentence in prison. If the case moves to juvenile court, he would be under supervision for the next 10 years. Judge Stephen Gibbs will decide in January where the case will go. Two homicide suspects in Eau Claire County are being tried separately. Brandon Gaston and Tracy Clark are both accused of killing an Altoona man and hiding his corpse. The body of 79-year-old Dennis Shoddy was found decapitated in the Rock River in Rockford, Illinois last April. Gaston will appear in court later this month. Clark's next court appearance is in October. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
With one call, the Civic Media Network of stations can deliver your business's message to the entire state of Wisconsin.
Or your hometown.
Marketing plans that work for your business. One call can do it all. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
Does your financial strategy include your hopes and dreams? What matters most to you? For over 100 years, Thrivent has helped clients like you find financial solutions for life's important goals. Explore a full range of options, from financial advice and investments to insurance, banking, and generosity programs. To have a heart-to-heart about your finances, contact Mandy Roberts, who you may recognize as Mandy Wright. Call her at 715-470-1303. 715-470-1303. Mandy Roberts proudly serves the Central Wisconsin area. For more details, visit thrivent.com/disclosure.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The Tap.
Gotta hold you in these arms of steel.
Hey, man, that sounds great. I haven't heard that song in a long time. 9:35, welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. Music from Robbie Robertson, who passed away yesterday at the age of 80, with Sammy Yannis again on background vocals. Sammy Yannis, one of the founding members of the Bodines, the Pride of Waukesha. And that song also covered by the Grateful Dead. And Grateful Dead bass player Phil Lesh with his band Phil and Friends. Really good stuff. Yeah, lost another great one yesterday. But anyway, let's get on to more of the news that we are discussing today and updated temperatures. Right now, 69 degrees in La Crosse and 60 degrees up in Hayward. One of my favorite columnists is Joel McNally, who's written for Milwaukee newspapers for decades, first for the Journal, I believe, or the Sentinel, before they combined, and then for the combination of the Journal Sentinel, and more recently for the Shepherd Express. And he has a piece in the Shepherd Express posted a couple days ago with a headline that says, "Let's get that speedy trial of Trump started." I'll give you a little bit of this. He said, "Here's where the most important trial in American history stands. Former Vice President Mike Pence and other Republican witnesses will testify about Donald Trump's organized plot to steal the election with the help of his most extreme supporters by throwing out millions of certified votes in seven states. Like many Republicans who fear the wrath of Trump and his supporters, Pence tried to avoid testifying against his former boss. Pence had more reason than most to fear for his life. Mike Pence and his family were chased through the Capitol by Trump's violent insurrectionists on January 6, 2021, shouting, 'Hang Mike Pence.' Trump sicked the mob on Pence by tweeting that Mike Pence had let them down by refusing to throw out the election results in seven states Biden won. But when Special Prosecutor Jack Smith subpoenaed Pence's testimony about Trump's repeated attempts to convince his own vice president to throw out Biden's legitimate votes, Pence no longer had any choice. It's against the law for witnesses to crimes to refuse to testify truthfully in criminal investigations." Jack Smith distilled 2 months of complicated machinations by Trump and his craziest co-conspirators into 4 clear, factually provable criminal charges. Fraudulently filing government documents from state Republicans falsely claiming to be the duly elected Trump electors in 7 states, including Wisconsin, 7 states that Biden won, including Wisconsin. Trump's pressure on Pence to violate the Constitution by throwing out electoral votes for Biden, disenfranchising millions of voters, violently shutting down congressional certification of the election results, and threatening the civil rights of the majority of American voters to have their votes counted. By indicting Trump alone and delaying the indictment of 6 unnamed Republican co-conspirators until later, Jack Smith has streamlined the case for a speedy trial before another presidential election. That's more important than ever because Republicans have done absolutely nothing to rid themselves of the violent, armed insurrectionists Trump attracted to their party. Through their own political cowardice to take a principled stand against their criminal ex-president, Republican leaders are unable to prevent the hardcore Trump extremists controlling their party from nominating him again, even though Trump will be juggling court appearances in multiple federal and state criminal indictments during the campaign. The first legal action before federal judge Tanya Chutkan presiding over Trump's trial in the January 6th indictment will be a protective order for witnesses and others involved in the case requested by Jack Smith's prosecutors Friday night, hours after Trump posted a threatening message on social media in all caps: "If you go after me, I'm coming after you." On Saturday, Judge Chutkan immediately ordered Trump's lawyers to respond to her with any objections to the government's request by 5 p.m. today, and this would have been a couple of days ago. She quickly reaffirmed that deadline When his attorneys tried to delay their response until Thursday, Chutkin's actions this week will say a lot about how much she will tolerate Trump's public attacks, pushing the boundaries of the law to try to intimidate witnesses and prosecutors. Republicans are stuck with Trump. Chutkin appears ready to move the trial forward quickly and firmly under her control. Most Americans have already waited 2.5 years for some legal action from federal prosecutors against Trump for the terrible crimes leading to the most shocking violent attack on our American democracy in our lifetimes. We are ready to get on with it. Wait, does that mean I'm not giving Trump the presumption of innocence? You bet I'm not. The presumption of innocence under the law is the legal standard Jack Smith's prosecutors must meet to convict Trump for his crimes beyond a reasonable doubt by presenting evidence before a jury of his peers, as they say, although Trump doesn't believe he has any. In the real world, we're all free to decide for ourselves whether defendants prosecuted in our criminal justice system are guilty or innocent, especially in high-profile cases. In this one, we were all witnesses. It's the most important trial in American history. That's why there's growing political pressure that it be televised. We already learned many of the details about the crimes by the gang that couldn't vote straight by the televised hearings of the bipartisan House investigation. Partisans for and against Trump should want to see the prosecution's evidence and Trump's defense for themselves. That piece from Joel McNally in the Shepherd Express. Joel McNally, a national award-winning newspaper columnist and longtime political commentator on Milwaukee radio and television. Since 1997, Joel has written a column for the Shepherd Express, where he was also editor for 2 years. We've got 9:42 right now on this Thursday morning. I have a story here from Salon. This was posted yesterday with a quote that says, "Might have to give those millions back. Legal experts say Jack Smith could seize Trump PAC cash." Special counsel Jack Smith appears to be far from wrapping up his investigation into President Donald Trump's post-2020 election scheme, and his team has held at least one interview this week related to the finances of the ex-president's political action committee, according to Politico. Jack Smith's team on Monday interviewed Bernie Karras, a former New York City police commissioner and longtime associate of former Trump lawyer Rudy Giuliani, according to the report. Prosecutors questioned Carrick in a closed-door interview about how the Save America PAC raked in huge amounts of cash between Election Day and the deadly Capitol insurrection. Carrick's lawyer, Tim Parlatore, told Politico that prosecutors were shining a laser focus from Election Day to January 6th. Parlatore also shared that prosecutors asked several questions about Boris Epstein, an attorney who currently works on Trump's campaign and as his in-house counsel, as well as Justin Clark, who was the deputy campaign manager of Trump's re-election. Though Trump's election subversion indictment did not include any financial crimes, Politico reported that the interview with Carrick demonstrates at the very least, quote, the clearest indication of Smith's focus since the special counsel handed down the indictment against Trump. Earlier this month, the New York Times reported that Save America's funds were dwindling after Trump was forced to pay out numerous lawyers and his seemingly unending indictments and court cases. The PAC reported less than $4 million in its account after starting last year with more than $105 million. The floundering PAC was even forced to request a whopping $60 million refund from pro-Trump super PAC Make America Great Again Incorporated, with the New York Times reporting that the refund was issued to Save America in installments, seemingly timed to Trump's various legal woes. Quote, I don't know that calling it a refund changes the fundamental illegality. Adav Notai, a former lawyer for the Federal Election Commission's litigation division, and leader of watchdog group Campaign Legal Center, told The Times. As the report noted, quote, the pro-Trump super PAC and Trump-controlled PAC must be independent entities and are barred from any coordination on strategy, end quote. Actually, there's more to the quote. It says, for the super PAC and the Trump PAC to be sending tens of millions of dollars back and forth, depending upon who needs the money more, strongly suggests unlawful financial coordination. The New York Times also noted that in the months after Trump left the White House, allies of Giuliani encouraged him to use Save America's money to pay Giuliani for legal services following the election. Various legal experts have identified the former New York City mayor as one of six co-conspirators listed in Smith's indictment of Trump. This isn't over yet, tweeted Frank Figluzzi, former senior FBI official. When you raise millions of dollars based on a fraudulent claim, you've committed a crime, and you just might have to give those millions back, end quote. Former federal prosecutor Andrew Weissman, who served on special counsel Bob Mueller's team, wrote that he is watching for a criminal case about the Trump PAC and forfeiture allegations and seizures. So interesting to see that those PACs might have to give a lot of that money back that was fraudulently taken from his supporters by telling them that he needs it for his defense fund. And I don't know. It's like, where is everything going to be when the dust settles? It's going to be interesting to watch, right? 9:47 right now. Let's take a break. It's a quick one. Stick around. You're tuned into the Stu Daniels Show.
See what I see. Can you cut behind the mystery? I will meet you at the witness tree. Leave the whole world behind.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
Does your financial strategy include your hopes and dreams? What matters most to you? For over 100 years, Thrivent has helped clients like you find financial solutions for life's important goals. Explore a full range of options, from financial advice and investments to insurance, banking, and generosity programs. To have a heart-to-heart about your finances, contact Mandy Roberts, who you may recognize as Mandy Wright. Call her at 715-470-1303. 715-470-1303. Mandy Roberts proudly serves the Central Wisconsin area. For more details, visit thrivent.com/disclosure.
It doesn't hurt, feels good to help. And when you give blood, you provide a life-saving difference for others. The need doesn't take a summer break. So we have a challenge for you, started by Civic Media's Earl Ingram.
Congratulations to all those people and all of you who donate blood.
Take a selfie while giving blood, then post it along with hashtag Civic Pints. Give blood and you could get a prize too. Find challenge details and a donation center near you at civicmedia.us/giveblood. civicmedia.us/giveblood.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
93.5, The Tap.
I'm meteorologist Megan Hatton. Areas of fog around this morning, then increasing clouds for your afternoon, the high near 80. Tonight and lasting through Friday, scattered showers and thunderstorms developing. A few storms may become strong to severe. The overnight low near 60, we're in the low 80s for highs on Friday. Currently at 66.
the Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
Attracts me like no other lover. Something in the way she woos me. I don't want to leave her now.
Well-known guitar solos of all time, right? George Harrison, Something from the Beatles. 9:52 and a half right now. It's 66 degrees in Eau Claire, 72 degrees in Richland Center. And we played that song yesterday on this show, and after I played it, I got an email message from a listener named Mark, and he gave me so much information on the background of not only that guitar solo, but the guitar that was used on the solo, and other information about the song. Some of this I knew, but I didn't know all this stuff. I haven't had time to confirm everything, but I would assume that it's correct. It says here that George Harrison wouldn't let John Lennon touch the song, Something. George did vocals and guitar. Paul McCartney did some amazing bass. Ringo was on drums. Billy Preston played organ. And George Martin did the orchestral arrangement. Now listen to this about the guitar. The red Les Paul guitar that George used on that song had an amazing backstory. It was once owned by John Sebastian of the Lovin' Spoonful. He traded it to Rick Derringer of the McCoys for an amp while they were on tour together. Derringer played the, I'll use the word crap for FCC regulations. Derringer played the crap out of it, then sent it to the Gibson factory to be rebuilt and then painted red from gold, after which he no longer liked it, and it ended up in a New York music store. Eric Clapton bought it, didn't like it, and gave it to George Harrison. But then George lent it back to Eric to play the solo on the Beatles song, While My Guitar Gently Weeps. George's solo on Something that we just heard, in my opinion, is one of the most beautiful solos I've ever heard on a Les Paul guitar. The name of the guitar, by the way, is Lucy, named after Lucille Ball's red hair. That's the story, according to our listener named Mark, who heard me play that song yesterday and chimed in with all that information sent it to my email. And by the way, if you have anything you want to send to me via email, feel free. My email address is stewmanradio@gmail.com, and Stu is spelled with a U. We're running out of time quickly, but one more thing I wanted to get to here before we ran out of time was one of the headlines I mentioned at the beginning of the show, that Joe Biden signed an executive order banning new American investments in some Chinese technology, such as semiconductors and artificial intelligence. I have a headline here from the AP. Biden issues an executive order restricting U.S. investments in Chinese technology. This was just updated minutes ago, it looks like, or no, a few hours ago, actually. But it says here, President Joe Biden signed an executive order on Wednesday to block and regulate high-tech U.S.-based investments going toward China. A move the administration said was targeted, but it also reflected an intensifying competition between the world's two biggest powers. The order covers advanced computer chips, microelectronics, quantum information technologies, and artificial intelligence. Senior administration officials said that the effort stemmed from national security goals rather than economic interests, and that the categories it covered were intentionally narrow in scope. The order seeks to blunt China's ability to use U.S. investments in its technology companies to upgrade its military while also preserving broader levels of trade that are vital for both nations' economies. The Chinese Ministry of Commerce responded in a statement early Thursday today that it has serious concern about the order and reserves the right to take measures. The United States and China appear to be increasingly locked in a geopolitical competition with a conflicting set of values. Biden administration officials have insisted that they have no interest in decoupling from China, yet the U.S. also has limited the export of advanced computer chips and kept the expanded tariffs set up by President Donald Trump. And in its response, China accused the United States of using the cover of risk reduction to carry out decoupling and chain breaking. China has engaged in crackdowns on foreign companies. Biden has suggested that China's economy is struggling and its global ambitions have been tempered as the U.S. has re-energized its alliances with Japan, South Korea, Australia, and the European Union. The administration consulted with allies and industry in shaping the executive order. Thanks for tuning in today, everybody. Have a great day. I'll be back tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock.
This is where I belong. This is my home. This is where I belong. This is my home. This is where I belong.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
I've got some cheese curds that I'm willing to share. Then I want to ride that giant slide over there. So if you've got 11 days to spare, won't you come with me to the Wisconsin State Fair? Won't you come with me to the Wisconsin? The great state of Wisconsin State Fair.
There's something for everyone at the Wisconsin State Fair, presented by U.S. Cellular August 3rd through the 13th.